Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. In fact, it's hour two. I'm so glad you just tuned in today. Well, I'm excited for this hour because we're going to spend some time talking about the idea of experiencing God's presence in every area of life. And if you listen often enough, you know that my life verse is Psalm 116:9, and it goes like this. And so I walk in the Lord's presence as I live here on earth. And you know, there is just nothing like God's presence. There's nothing that compares to his love, and there's no match for his power. He is above all, he's over all, and he's holding all things together. So excited today to talk with a woman who absolutely lives worship for the Lord. Darlene Chuck joins me today to talk about her new book, Worship Changes Everything, Experiencing God's Presence in Every Moment of Life. I want you to listen to this excerpt of Darlene's book, and then I'll bring her on. She writes, "Is it possible we've become so comfortably blessed and familiar with the grandeur of God, with the holiness of his presence, with the consistency of his goodness in our lives, that we take him for granted? Is it time we put down what we're doing and take another look? When was the last time you looked at God and marveled at his beauty and kindness and power and goodness and absolutely said, wow?" Of course, I added that word absolutely. But when was the last time we paused like that and said, wow, at the goodness and the greatness and the kindness of our God? Let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get her on the show. Darlene Chuck is an acclaimed worldwide singer, songwriter, worship leader, and speaker, most notably for her involvement in the music from Hillsong Church over many years. She and her husband founded Hope Rwanda to bring hope and healing to the nation following the genocide of 1994. The movement has spread into Cambodia, Vanuatu, I don't know if I'm saying that right, India, and Uganda. Mark and Darlene became senior pastors of Hope Unlimited Church on the beautiful central coast of New South Wales, where they now live with their family. You can find her on the web at darlenecheck.com. Miss Darlene, welcome to the program. So great to meet you today.
Wow, thank you, Susie. So nice to be here.
Well, we love to start out every conversation, Darlene, talking scripture. We just love the Word of God on Live the Promise. And it, you know, I know you do too, and it's so powerful. If you either have a life verse or just a verse that the Lord's been speaking to you about today, if you don't mind sharing that with us and what about it you're thinking about, because it really does bring the Word to life for our listeners as well.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, today's a bit of an emotional day for me because my nan is very, very sick. And I'm a long way from her. She's 100 years old.
Wow.
And she's an amazing woman of God. And, you know, I was just praying and, you know, because I'm, you know, in your country, not in mine, and I just want to be there with her. But I felt the Holy Spirit say to me this morning that, you know, when she goes home, which will be in the next few days, I'm sure, goes home to be with Jesus, that that is her great day. It's her great day. It's what she's been waiting for. And I was looking at John 7:37, and it says, "And in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink.'" And it's funny because my mum was just telling me that Nan is not drinking much. And I'm like, oh, any day now she's going to go and get this big drink. She's got living water, and her great day is almost upon her. And so, you know, the Word of God works whether you're mountaintops or valleys, or, you know, the Word of God is life. Mm. And that scripture is just really helping me be here well today, because my heart, my body is here, but my heart is at home. So God is good.
Yes, I appreciate you sharing that, Darlene. And something I often say on the show is everything about God and his presence and his word is about invitation, not obligation. I mean, everything, even the hard things, even when he bids us to come and die to our rights and to whatever it is, there's an invitation and a grace and an anointing to go with it. And I think it turns into religion when it becomes this drudgery and this obligation, because we lose sight of God's heart. Because it's all to me about an invitation to a great feast, yes, to intimacy. What say you?
Absolutely. I'm with you all the way. I say Susie for president is what I say.
You're so funny. Only if you'll be my vice president, darling.
Come on. Let's do it.
All right. Well, in the book, you talk about a time when you encountered God in a life-changing way at age 15. And if you don't mind, before you even tell what happened there, give the context of how you felt about yourself, about God, before you had this encounter with the Lord.
Yeah, I had always had, a soft heart toward the Lord. My grandparents had, prayed for me and my siblings, well, our whole family by name every morning. You know, they were Christians from a very young age. And, my parents, when I was young as well, we all were in church, and I just had a tender heart before the Lord. And then our family went on a kind of terrible journey, and lots of stuff happened, and so I end up at 15 very broken. I'd been singing on a national television show in Australia since I was 10, so I was being paid full time to sing for 5 years. I end up 15 feeling very broken. I was bulimic. I blamed myself for a lot of the things that happened, which is nonsense, but for most children of families who split, the eldest often absorbs a lot of that fear and that responsibility, as in being the eldest. And so that's kind of where I found myself. And my father actually gave his life back to the Lord in the midst of all of this, and I'd moved out of home at 15. I was living in a back room of a single mum's house, and he came and picked me up and took me to a youth meeting, and I got radically born again.
Wow.
And I still remember it as clearly as anything. Just the love of God actually just coming in like a torrent, like a tidal wave over my heart, and it was so magnificent and irrevocably changed me. And I, there is hardly a day gone by where I haven't just, my breath been taken away by the love of God towards me. And it's been that love that has brought the healing, and the love that has compelled me to want more.
Yeah.
his love, and also I want to let everyone know about this love, that you don't have to sit in your prison. His love will draw you out of whatever prison you're sitting in.
Praise God. I'm talking to Darlene Check. She's got a beautiful new book out titled Worship Changes Everything, Experiencing God's Presence in Every Moment of Life. And before we dig into some more of that content of this book, which I love, by the way, would you mind it's great. I had church while I prepped for this interview. I really, really did. It was awesome. Just so good, yes. If it's okay with you, would you share a little bit about how life changed for you after Shout to the Lord hit the scene? I'm sure you went, you were public in your country, but what changed for you when that song hit the charts and hit the scene? I would just love to know, and how you navigated those waters.
This is why I say thank God for the local church, because, because I've always been planted in a local church from the second I got saved. I think because, all of this accolade, and it's like God put Hillsong Church in a slingshot and pulled it back and shot it into the atmosphere, and it was fast and furious. And the beauty about local church is that it, every week it just calls you back home, and just like a family, you when you're in your own physical home, you take the rubbish out, the trash, as you would say, you take the trash out, you do all those things. And being in a spiritual family is a little bit similar. In a congregation, you come together, you do life together, and that grounding in the ordinary actually made the success possible. I think without the grounding in the beauty of the local church and the ordinariness of the everyday life, and just God in the everyday life, I just don't think we could have ever sustained what God was about to do.
Wow.
And it has been, you know, such a great honor and privilege. And, you know, I found myself before kings and the poorest of the poor and presidents. And, I mean, this song, literally, and it's been unbelievable. I mean, this week I'm going to sing before the Pope brings a message on prayer.
Wow.
And again, just that song, he asked for that song. So it's amazing to see what God will do with a song and how worship can cut through all those denominational barriers and get to the cry of the human heart, you know, which longs for connection with God.
Mm.
So,
so good.
Crazy things happen, Susie.
Well, I think I'm going to change my vocabulary and call the trash rubbish, because first of all, that makes me sound so smart. I love that. But as you were talking, you know, thinking of Paul Words when he was talking about his accomplishments, and yet he says, I consider all these things rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing him. And so even the stuff we get to do for God, and when it does slingshot us into maybe a public eye, some people just live for that, but they don't even realize that in itself, apart from God, is truly rubbish, and yet it's an opportunity to steward for his namesake. And Darlene, you've done that so beautifully well. And I want you to talk about, just, I know as an author myself, you know, there's times where God does, he always, every time before I write a book, he does it in me and before he'll do it through me. And this Worship Changes Everything, I think, has been your life song. But when did you finally know, I need to put this in print, and this needs to go into a book?
Well, I guess it's been coming for a little while. I think after last year, I felt that everything I do going forward, I want to have some sort of legacy attached. You know, it can't just be a temporary, momentary thing. And the beauty of songs and books is that they can live on. And I wanted to write something, you know, my heart of hearts is that I would raise and release, you know, just generations of worship, leaders of worship, not just people at the front, but, you know, who, wherever you are in the context of releasing worship, whether it's in production or singing from a congregational standpoint, or whether you're leading worship, or you're in the band, or you're, you know, out in the car park, or you're, you know, serving someone in their home, wherever it comes to that, that you have an understanding of why you do what you do. And I think, you know, I feel very passionate about that, about just having everyone having a basic theology of why we worship and why it's important. And so that's why I came to, you know, after last year I was in bed kind of 7 months, and there was some very scary moments in there, and I, you know, just felt, okay, this is the time I do this.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was just like a fire in my belly. And, you know, I spent a lot of time just gathering notes and thinking of life moments and highlights and lowlights and the faithfulness of God through it all. And actually, that was really fun. It was so much fun just kind of retelling the great story of how great our God is, you know. So I'm really praying it's a great blessing to people, and it gives them, I guess, some meat to chew on as far as going forward in their expression of worship.
Definitely does that. Talking to Darlene Check today. Title of her new book is Worship Changes Everything, Experiencing God's Presence in Every Moment of Life. When we come back, we're going to talk about Darlene's battle with cancer and how she found an intimacy with God there. We're going to talk about worship in the way that we live, in the way that we give, in the way that we pray and play, and even the way we approach our work. All those things Darlene addresses in her new book. Don't go away. More with Darlene Check in a moment. nothing like God's presence. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So honored today to talk to my sister, Darlene Check. She's got a brand new book out titled Worship Changes Everything. And that song off the Hillsong album, that's a Darlene Check song. Darlene, I got to tell you, that song took a deeper meaning for me. My oldest son lived in Nashville for a number of years, and we went out there 2 weeks after the Nashville floods, and we were standing in my son's church, which had water damage several feet up all over the church. And these people, some of them, their houses were swept away in the flood, and they had lined the hallways with tables with diapers and blankets. And so they were reaching out to their community. Of course, they took time Sunday morning, and they sang that song, you know, that you're Lord over the flood. I will be still. I will know that you are God. And I was sobbing from my toes, because it's like when these truths are tested in the deepest way and you get a song in your heart, it's so much more than a song. It truly is a declaration of the faithfulness of God, isn't it?
Oh, it so is. Actually, Reuben Morgan wrote that song, and I had the privilege of singing it. And actually, I was in Nashville during the floods, and I led a worship night, and we did the same thing.
Wow.
We sang that song, and it was so powerful, and, yeah, people just wept. And, you know, a song in the night, I mean, they're some of the greatest songs of all. You know, when you grab hold of a song like they do become like an anchor to your soul. And when they're just filled with the Word of God, well, we're singing truth, and we're singing His promise over every circumstance. And it's beautiful, because we bring that circumstance up to the Word of God rather than bringing the Word of God down to our circumstance, you know.
Yeah.
And that's part of that declaration that we were born to bring. Yeah, so powerful.
So good. Praise the Lord. Hey, darling, would you mind, if you don't mind, and say if you'd rather not, but just revisit that time when you received your diagnosis, and just walk us through a little bit of that and some of the honest struggle and some of the ways God met you in that struggle.
Ooh, it was a shock, I'll tell you that. It was a shock. Do you know, I had felt, you know, I had been chasing this lump, actually. I'd had 4 checks in 2 years, and they'd said it was just fatty tissue, and I was like, well, welcome to the 40s. This is what it looks like. And but, you know, there was the one day I went in there and I felt the Holy Spirit, you know, check again. And they said, no, it's inconclusive. They biopsied. It was inconclusive. I said, I'm not leaving here until I get a conclusive one way or another. And I just felt that, like, confidence in me to push back and go, no, that's not right. And it was because the Holy Spirit was nudging me. And I'm so thankful that I listened, because I'm sure there are a million times where I don't. And I'm so thankful I listened that day, and they came back and they said, no, it is cancer and we need to do something straight away. And so, you know, it was cancer December. It was very fast and furious. I was in surgery before I knew it, and I got home from hospital after having surgery on Christmas Eve. You know, we went on a little break just for a week before I started chemo, and you know, God was just so good. I have learned, you know, I wrote a little message called Lessons from the Valley, some of the lessons that I've learned. And you know, God spoke to me, Psalm 23 again, and he said, okay, you're going to have to walk through, but you're walking through with me. I'll never leave you. I won't forsake you. We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a shadow. It's a shadow. You know, the only way there's shadows is when there's light, so that I am with you. I am with you. And he just told me morning, noon, and night, I am with you, because you know, there are a few times I've rushed to hospital and ambulances, and I felt like I was going to die. And, you know, Romans 8, for I'm persuaded neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And, you know, I guess, you know, when you head down those valley roads, you know, the enemy immediately tries to corrode your faith, your identity, to gnaw away at your trust in God and all of those things. But, you know, the Holy Spirit was just so good, just saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. And, you know, to be honest, at first he said to me, do you trust me? And I'm like, yes, I do trust you, I do trust you. And then I felt God ask me, do you know that I love you? And it took me a little longer to answer, to be honest, Susie, because I just said, God, it doesn't feel like it. And he says, I love you. I love you with an everlasting love, daughter. So it's been a, you know, a massive journey. My theology was put through a sieve. But, you know, that's what the word talks about, refiner's fire. I'm like, okay, here we go. And even watching, you know, what God has done in my children and how, you know, they've just emerged so beautifully in their faith. And people have asked me, was your faith challenged? And I will say 100% no. In fact, I don't know how people do this without faith, because I needed every ounce of faith. And, you know, I had to confess everything. I'm still doing that. I confess, I speak it out. I'm not quiet anymore. I speak out scripture all the time. You know, 2 Chronicles 20, you will not need to fight this battle. Just position yourself, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord who is with you.
Wow.
I mean, all the verses, you just speak them out. It's not the power of positive thinking. It's speaking truth over facts, life over death. You know, that's what I've been learning to do, just more and more and more. And that's how I'm living now. And it's changed me. And, you know, now I'm on 3 monthly checks and it's intense. I'm on intense medication that, you know, doesn't make me feel amazing. But in all of it, God is faithful and is just speaking to me. And, you know, I tell you something else, and sorry if I'm taking all the air.
Are you kidding me? I'm hanging on every word. Keep going.
I'm like, oh, I hope this is okay. But do you know something I felt, and I have refused to Google my diagnosis? Because I felt like, you know, the second you go there, you fill your mind with all the what ifs. You know, what if this, what if that? All of a sudden you've got man's just opinion fueling my mind. And I just went, no, I am not. My husband said to me, you are not to do that. We're going to stay on the side of faith. And so now I declare that the finished work of Christ is exactly that. It's finished.
Amen.
It's finished. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And because Christ is alive in me, sickness must flee.
I love it. Oh, I love it.
That's where I'm living. Mm. And, you know, it's not been easy by any stretch. And all I know is that God is faithful. And, you know, now I'm writing these songs and, I was writing the other day with Paul Baloch and Jen Johnson, and Brian, Paul Baloch said, it's like I've got two lions in the room.
That's the best place to be.
Wow, you know, that's exactly how I felt.
Yes. That's what happens. We emerge from the ashes of our pain with
that's
a greater
it.
Roar and a greater conviction. Talking to Darlene Check, when we come back, we're going to talk more about God fighting this battle for her. And one thing I spoke over myself and I speak over you when I was battling Lyme disease is you will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And God is with us. When I come back, I'm going to talk more with Darlene about her valley of the shadow experience and God's faithfulness in the midst of it. Don't go away. We'll be right back. That's Darlene Check, and she's my guest today. She's got a brand new book out titled Worship Changes Everything. Listen to this. She writes, God's presence defines us. We need more of him. If you can casually meander through worship, then I would dare say that maybe, just maybe, you've not entered true worship at all. We need Jesus-centered, Holy Spirit-filled, passionately led worship, because when God comes close, everything changes. That about makes me cry, Darlene. And before the break, we were talking about your walk through the valley of the shadow, your battle with cancer, and in that place where God was saying, do you know that I love you? And you said that your faith stayed strong, but your theology was challenged. And we've talked a lot of great leaders who've walked through the valley of the shadow when it comes to sickness. And they said their theology changed a bit because it needed to. Not that they don't believe God performs miracles, but sometimes our theology around suffering is framed wrong, and it makes it actually harder on the person who's suffering if we think suffering isn't part of the journey. You know what I'm saying? So I'd love for you to maybe unpack a little bit just how your perspective on suffering has been impacted by your own sickness.
Yeah. I mean, we lost both our fathers to cancer. My best friend is very sick with cancer and has been for 8 years.
Wow.
You know, I've had, you know, in our own walk with, you know, children and birthing children and then, you know, miscarrying and all of those things. I mean, we've known suffering in this journey of life. And I think, you know, people have got to remember that part of life is death. And part of life is suffering, and, you know, the joy in all of that is that, you know, and I found is, you know, death, where is your sting? Mm. Like, you know, I really had to go there again and go, okay, you know, where in the scheme of things, God is in control, and praise God, this life is not the end. And suffering is part of the journey, and this is why we need Christ. You know, God so loved the world that he gave Jesus because he knew that we could not do this life, the highs and the lows, without Jesus. And, you know, in some places on the earth, you know, we've been sold this cookie cutter, all glistening life, that's what we're aspiring to, you know, two cars in the garage, kids in a good school, and I'm just like, what a load of nonsense. And we've been sold this picture perfect picket fence life as this is what God promises you, and it's like, no, he doesn't. He says that through suffering he'll never leave us.
Yeah.
He says that as Christians we'll suffer persecution, you know. and you know, I just think that, you know, we've got to always make sure, not judging others, but make sure tending to the garden of our own hearts, that we're going, God, you know, whatever it is that you're asking me to do, I will do that. I want to say yes. And I know that through every trial that, you know, I may walk through the fire, but I'm not going to come out smelling of smoke. I'm going to just declare the majesty of God. And I think that's the challenge. I think we've got to undo this picture of, like, some people don't tell you when they're suffering because they feel like you're going to judge them, that they've done something wrong and that God is punishing them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, what a load of nonsense that is. And yet much of the church still believe that.
Exactly. And that was my point, because when you are sick and someone is saying, well, you must have missed a step, it's devastating because it's a heavy enough weight to carry the burden of sickness.
Oh, look, people said some strange things to me along the way. And some people, you know, you should never have left Hillsong. And
wow.
I'm like,
oh, wow.
What?
Wow.
Come here and let me slap you upside the head.
Exactly.
With love, of course.
Indeed. Good indeed. Love. In absolute Christian love, I'm going to bend your fingers back.
And it's anyway. Like, no, do you know what? We live in a fallen world, mm-hmm. and we have an enemy.
Yes.
You know, we mm-hmm. have an enemy, and that's what the word tells us. And he's the accuser of the brethren. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And yet God says, no, come on. No weapon formed against you will prosper. You know, we have all these promises. We've just got to appropriate them. But it certainly doesn't mean that God is punishing you. That is not the Jesus that I know.
That's exactly right.
That's not the Jesus of the Word.
Mm. You know, it seems that because in this world we have trouble and because chaos seems to be all around us, we have to really guard our hearts, steward our perspective. But I would say, especially in the land of suffering, we have to just steward our perspective and frame our disappointments in light of faith in God's word. And you even mentioned that in that time, you had to be careful with certain people in your life who just maybe were negative. And I just think that's just great wisdom. I wonder if you could talk about that, because sometimes we feel obligated to stay connected to certain people, even though their perspective is maybe toxic to our souls in that particular season.
Yeah. And do you know, I can be a nice person, but I'm not into that word anymore. I just, you know, because I don't want to make people feel upset, you know, and so when people would be well-meaning, but I could already tell when they were walking toward me that their fear for me was bigger than my fear. And so I found myself early on trying to absorb everyone else's negative energy so that they didn't feel bad about being with me. You know, it's a funny back and forth tennis game of emotions. And I just learned early that who you have around you in a crisis is very important. And I needed people around me who would help me stay in faith and help me stay focused. I didn't have any room for negative, like even well-meaning people, and I became quite, I would say, actually, please stop. Rather than just letting it wash over me, I'd say, actually, please stop. If you can't be in faith, like, even when people prayed for me in the beginning, they would, you know, strangers would come up to me all the time, and I've always had that, you know, people saying, oh, can I come and pray for you, but during this time, people would say, oh, God, we're just praying for your will. And I'd be like, and at first I would accept it, but after a while I'd go, actually, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus and because of the blood of the Lamb and the finished work of Christ. I mean, I would just take over and kind of push back that prayer, and not because I didn't love the person, but because I just didn't have the margin for the, you know, to absorb other people's lack of faith in that area. And I, you know, my husband said to me one day, who are you? I said, I don't know. I said, but I think I like it.
Darlene the Lion. I love it.
Yeah.
So good. Well, in the book, too, Worship Changes Everything, this is such, I think this is such a relief and good news for somebody today. You said, for those who haven't felt God's presence in some time, don't try harder. Trust more. That reminds me of Psalm 46:10. Cease striving and know that He is God. Maybe speak to that person who's trying maybe the bootstrap thing, and God wants them to trust and lean in more.
Yeah, do you know, I think Anna from Frozen had it all right. Let it go.
Yeah.
Just kind of let go and just fall into the loving arms of God. And, you know, if you just be still and just quieten yourself. I think half the problem today is, you know, we're so busy, not just in life but in our minds. And it's very hard to shut the clutter in your mind. And, you know, that's why I say to people, don't strive to get into God's presence. He's here. He's here. You know, God is with us. If two or three are gathered, He is here. He is with us, but often we are not with Him. And James 4:8 just simply says, draw near to God. Just draw near. Open your heart and wait. Wait for Him. Don't rush past the moment. You know, just be in His presence, be in His word. And because He desires to be with you, He's not asking you to jump through hoops. He's not asking you to perform for Him. He's just saying, I just want you to want to be with me. That's all. Because He wants a genuine exchange. He doesn't want you there because you feel obliged. Just want Him.
Yes. Invitation, and not
stop.
Obligation, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Just stop. And wait. And when God comes close, I mean, right there, I live for those moments in my day. That's everything. And you'll find strength for whatever you are going through in those moments.
My mentor always says, Darlene, that battles are won in worship, and that's the place where we go to war. And we've had Lisa Bevere on a bunch of times, and she says the same thing, that worship is a weapon of our warfare. I mean, for those who maybe when they think worship, they think singing their songs in church on Sunday. It's so much more than that. Maybe unpack even what you've learned about the depth and the breadth and the power of actual worship.
Yeah, I mean, worship is so much more. I mean, you cannot deny that worship does involve music and song. I mean, in the Psalms alone, I think over 40 times, we're told to sing songs, you know, and sing new songs, not just, you know, old songs, even though the old songs are powerful. But it's the Bible's constantly encouraging us to sing because, you know, I believe the reason music was given was to communicate the glory of God. I mean, it grabs your auditory senses, your physical senses like nothing else can, and it pulls everything kind of into alignment when you are bringing a song. And worship is so powerful because also it's an act of faith, but without faith it's impossible to please God. So, you know, it involves our heartstrings that join in the song, you know. But it doesn't finish there. Worship is not an event. It is not a Sunday morning ritual. It is a worshipful life is Christ, a Christ-centered, Romans 12, everything I do poured out as a spiritual act of worship, which means in your walking, your talking, your living, that there is, that you are constantly aware that Jesus is the center of all things for you, all things, not one part. You know, you go to church and you worship and then you live like hell for 6 days. It's not about that. It's like, no, Jesus is at the center, that everything you do is as worship unto him, a sweet-smelling aroma. And if you go back to that word worship, you know, which just pull it back to worship, for he is worthy. So what about your life today is worship, you know, bringing the glory due his name because he is worthy. You know, and so approaching your life like that, just Jesus at the center of everything, literally changes everything. It will change your thoughts, your speech, your actions, your intentions, your agendas, your the way you communicate love, the way you spend your money, the way you are as an employee or an employer. Everything will be impacted from a worshipful life.
So true. You know, I spent over a decade serving on an elder board leadership team in our old church. And we learned that our meetings actually were shorter when we opened with worship and prayer, because if we just started talking, it's just a bunch of mere men and women reasoning. But it's like you get into God's presence and you worship and you pray and you seek his face and seek first his kingdom. It's amazing how all the peripheral things fall off by the wayside and you get a clarity about your life. All that to say, there's nothing like God's presence.
Like God's presence. And all of a sudden, even the battles you're going in to fight, you're like, oh, how embarrassing.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean anything.
I was just kidding, God. I was just kidding about that one thing.
Okay, so I've got to forgive yet again. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, we got to take our last break here talking to Darlene Check. When we come back, we're going to talk about benefits of the battle. We're going to talk about worship in our acts of giving, worship in the way we show up in our daily tasks with our life that God's given us, and even worship in the everydayness of life. You know, godliness with contentment is great gain. There's a place for worship there. If you're bored in your faith, it's time to look up. God has more for you. Talking to Darlene Check. Don't go away. More when we come back. Song makes me want to take my shoes off. So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. talking to my dear sister, Darlene Check, about her beautiful new book, Worship Changes Everything, Experiencing God's Presence in Every Moment of Life. And, Darlene, something I've learned in my journey with the Lord is that, and this is, I mean, I knew this in my head, but I'm getting to know this in my gut and in my heart, but that there's just no battle that he allows us to encounter, no valley that we walk through, that it doesn't pay us back somehow in dividends. You know what I mean? There's takeaways. He doesn't let us go through anything unless there's a treasure. It's almost like as we trust him and submit to him, that battle bows before him and we get treasures out of the darkness. And I'm wondering if you've seen that. How are you different from this recent battle with cancer? And what are some of your takeaways out of that valley that you've suffered through?
Look, I'm so blessed. You know, Joyce Meyer is a friend, and she sent me this video just for me, and she talked from Psalm 105, and she said, I feel that God is going to, this is going to be your story. And it's about Joseph. It says, he sent a man before them, Joseph sold as a slave, and it says, they bruised his feet with shackles, and his neck was put in iron. And she spoke over me, and she said, you know, the beautiful thing about this story is that even though so much happened to Joseph, the iron made him strong but not bitter. And he became more resilient but never harsh, and he was resolute, like as a leader, but full of compassion. And she said, I just feel that this is what is going to happen in you. And, you know, I just kept praying, God, I don't want this trial getting inside of me. You know, I don't want to come out angry or disappointed, because I've seen, you know, disappointment, et cetera, just take people out. And that was kind of my biggest prayer. God, just my heart, I really want my heart to stay just soft and true. I don't want to get professional, and I don't want to get harsh, and I don't want to put borders up around my heart to be able to cope with this. So, you know, I think some of the things that have changed in me, you know, is that I felt like the kindness that was extended to me was so humbling, Susie, that you know, many days I wept due to the kindness that I was experiencing. And I just felt the Spirit of God show me that kindness is one of the most natural outworkings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, and going forward now, I'm just like every day, I'm like, God, the fruit of the Spirit, I need it to be more evident in my life. And, you know, I say to my girls now, you know, kindness is the new black, girls, come on. Let's be really aware when the Holy Spirit alerts your eyes to a need or a, you know, something that you can do something about, then stop and get involved. And, you know, so since last year, I've put more margin in every day. I don't, you know, I leave space so that I can stop. And it's very intentional, and it's changing my life. Oh, sorry, I'm getting very emotional, but it's changing my life because I'm not too busy to rush past the broken. And, you know, even in our cities, I mean, we think missions and we think overseas, but seriously, our next door neighbors, they're suffering due to fear and anxiety and brokenness. And, you know, just having the time to like stop and go, hey, what's going on? Let's sit down with me, come and talk to me, and you share your love of Jesus and you tell your story. And I think your story, all of our story, I mean, Revelation says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the power of the testimony. You know, so I think we've all got to get better at telling our story and just sharing about the goodness of God. You don't have to know all the Bible scriptures. Just talk about the goodness of God. You know, and I think other things are, you know, I guess after losing my hair and all that stuff, you just realize that stuff is stuff and hair is hair and Who gives a rip in the end, you know? It's like I don't want to live to get more stuff. I just want to live to be more in tune with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, all of that stuff is confronting and humbling. And, you know, I did lead worship a few times with my wig, and I was just like, seriously, if this thing comes off in the middle of praise, this is going to be...
The roof will come off for sure.
That'll be interesting.
That's so precious.
I don't know. Mm. Never waste a good crisis, I say. You know, we just got to, you know, just go back to the basics and really live with intention. I know one of my hardest days was when my 13-year-old Zoe, she... had given a letter to one of our trusted kids pastors and just said, I'm scared my mum's going to die. You know, and I hated that my kids had to go through that. And, you know, but in the end I said to the girls, you know, when God says it's my time, then it's my time. Cancer will not tell me when it's my time.
Amen.
But when God says, then that's my time and I plan to be around here for a long time. You know, but I'm just living each day with more intention, more awareness to what the Spirit is doing, and the ability to stop and listen, you know. And if someone tugs at your heart, you know, if a need tugs at your heart, that's a pretty good clue that the Holy Spirit's knocking on your door to say, hey, come on, this is church in action right now. We don't go to church. We are the church. We are Christ's body. Let's go and be the church. Wherever we are, and go and respond to that call of the Holy Spirit, and He will give you what you need to be fully present in that moment. You know, so that's where I'm at.
Love
I'm
it.
Writing, and I'm just loving, and I'm learning. And it's like phase two. I don't know even what to say, but it's like, okay, you know, John Maxwell said to me, these are what he calls the bonus years, he said. And so when you've had a life and death time, your years after that you treat very, very differently. And now I'm understanding what he means. You know, I have three grandchildren. I have still have a 14-year-old at home. We've got campuses and church, and we just want to release worship and mission and resolve and answer on the earth while we have breath, you know, and so that's what we're doing.
Beautiful. I would say what you've just shared with us, Darlene, these are treasures from the darkness, and they're treasures to us, so I can't tell you how grateful I am that you'd share them. And we're going to be praying here in just a minute, wrapping up our time together, but one thought that I'd just love for you to comment on before we pray is, you say that we can't think too much about eternity. In fact, it's that mindset that'll keep us grounded in what God has given us to do today. And then you reference C.S. Lewis as writing, if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did most for the present world were precisely those who thought most of the next world. And here we are. It's time to pray. Wondering if you would pray for us that we could live with eternity in mind, that we'd fix our eyes on the unseen, what's eternal, so that we could live as ones who are spoken for. Would you pray?
Yeah. Father, today I thank you for the great opportunity to just gather around the airwaves and talk about your goodness. And I pray for every person listening today, Lord Jesus, that they will be fully aware in a fresh way of your glory and your presence. And Lord God, that we would live just with our ears and eyes open to what your Spirit is doing, and that we would have the capacity and that sense of bravery to say yes to whatever it is you are highlighting for us to put our hand to. And we thank you for your goodness, for your favor, for your grace over our lives. And we give you all glory and honor in all ways, at all times. I thank you for Susie and the things you've put in her heart. Bless her greatly, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen, Darlene. I just appreciate you so much, and you will be in my prayers in the days ahead. Thank you for giving us your precious time today.
Oh, thanks, Susie. Love you. Love you, everybody. Mm-hmm. God bless.
Loved every moment. Title of her book, again, is Worship Changes Everything. Wow. Thanks so much for tuning in today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a little bit, you'll find the podcast of today's show up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And I'm thinking every person you know needs to hear this conversation we just had with Darlene. So with a click of a button, you can be a radio missionary and send it out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. We'd love for you to do that. Encourage your friends and loved ones today. Remember this. I leave you with this thought most days, that the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a blessed day.